This is Trinity Sunday. And one explanation of why we have Trinity Sunday might be that this is the Sunday that we use to explain the Trinity. And Meredith gave us one example during Feeding of the Lambs to help us to better understand how God is three in one. And there are many different ways to explain it, and all of them are imperfect, but we use them to try to help us understand a little bit better. So I thought I'd share a couple of my favorites that I like to share with children, youth, and confirmation classes. One of those, it has to do with hats. Now, this hat of mine is not in the best shape anymore. It has been worn to many, many soccer matches. It has been worn to drive Hannah Kate to and from dance and dance competitions and rehearsals and even for running, and so it's not in the best shape, but it makes me think of how we all wear different hats. Now, we might not wear lots of physical hats, but we have different responsibilities. So for me, I am I'm a daughter, I'm a sister, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a pastor, I'm a friend, and each of those, I'm still the same person, but I have different roles, different responsibilities, or different hats, you might say. And so you might want to think about what those look like for you. And when we think about God, who is three in one, or triune, three in one, we think about how God is Father, God is Son, and God is Holy Spirit, or God is Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. And one is not more or less than the other, or greater less important than the other, but they are three in one person. Another example that I like to use sometimes with children and youth is an egg. Now, I'm not going to break this open right now because I'm not planning on cooking an egg right now, but if you think about the egg, it has the outer shell that we can see right now, but then also inside, when you crack it open, you can see the white and you can see the yolk. Now, all three of these parts are needed for it to be an egg, but while those three make up the one, each one is different. We see it differently, we understand it differently, just like we understand the different roles of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God, the Creator and Father, in different ways. And it is an imperfect explanation, though, because all three, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are the same substance, the Bible tells us. It tells us in John 3:16 that Jesus is begotten of God, so he is the same substance. So the egg image is a little bit imperfect, even though I do like it. One other that I really like, and I don't have all three parts to it, but when we drink a glass of water, we might have the ice, we have the water, or if we were to heat it up to make tea or coffee, we would see some steam coming from that. So all three of those are forms of water, liquid water, ice, and steam, but they are all the same substance. So they're all one, even though we see them or we use them in different ways. And it's like that with God. Again, we see him, we experience him in three different ways, as one who creates, as one who redeems, as one who sustains, but it is still one and the same God. So I hope that those help a little bit. The Trinity is one of those concepts that defies explanation. We can try, and we can sometimes get pretty close. We can provide hints or glimpses of the reality of the totality of God, but we can never fully explain the holy mystery of Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three being one God. What we're left with then is describing God the way God consistently describes God's self in Scripture, and that is by describing himself in relationship with us. Our scripture lesson today, it reveals one instance of this self-description of God in relationship with us, and it comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. This is going to be a familiar scripture that you might know better as the Great Commission. Now, I would like to ask you, if you will, to go and get your Bible. Now, it might be in your room, it might be right there with you where you are, but if you don't already have it, I'd like to invite you to go get it. And here's why. If you need to pause, then that's just fine if you're watching on YouTube. But in a couple of weeks, when we get back together in person, things will be a little bit different. But one of my hopes is that we will use that difference to make a difference in our lives. A lot of times I see people coming into worship, and whether they're an individual by themselves or whether it's a family coming in, and there's something missing from what they're carrying in. Now, some people still bring it, but a lot of people don't anymore, and that is their Bible. Now, I know that for some people, it's because they have their phones with them and they have the Bible on their phone. For others, they use the Pew Bible that is provided there in the sanctuary. But for several weeks, at least, we are not going to be using shared hymnals or Bibles or other papers like bulletins or shared pens that we might normally find in the sanctuary, so that we're not all touching the same items. But I hope that out of that, we can instead go back to some of the basics of our faith, that each one of us will bring our Bibles with us, and that we'll look up the scripture together, that we will read it together. I hope that families that are seated together that have children or youth with them will take the time to help their students to look up that scripture in worship, and then to follow along and read it together. So I thought we would start that this morning. Again, so if you'll grab your Bible, and we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Now, for any of the children or youth that are following along, again, you'll remember that Matthew is one of the Gospels, and so it's found in the New Testament. And the Old Testament is longer. It takes up more pages in our Bible than the New Testament does. So it's going to be a little bit more than halfway through. So if you'll notice in mine, that's a little bit more than halfway through your Bible. And so if you'll find Matthew, we're looking for chapter 28, that's the larger number, and then verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the scripture lesson for Trinity Sunday, Jesus calls on his followers to baptize in the name of the triune God, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the bulk of the passage isn't about God. It is, like most scripture, it teaches us about the character of our loving God by talking about us. It's about what we will do in the name of God. It's about what we'll do because we belong to Jesus. When we focus on God, we always understand ourselves better, and the scripture points that out to us. That is how the scripture works. So this Trinity Sunday, we do things like affirm we believe in the triune God as we speak the words of the Apostles' Creed. We sing songs of God's glory like "Holy, Holy, Holy." And in the first verse of this hymn, it ends with, "God in three persons, blessed Trinity." We pray, remembering that God is creator, redeemer, and sustainer. And as Meredith invited us during Feeding of the Lambs, we look for symbols on the screen today where we watch. We look in our homes, we look in our church building when we meet together, we look out in creation all around us. There are symbols that represent the Trinity. There are triangles, there are three-leaf clovers, there are circles and Celtic knots that speak of the diversity and the unity of God, three in one. The three steps on the base of the candles and the cross that are placed on the altar in the sanctuary, again, they represent Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We worship God who is holy. Our attention to God's glory and the wonder and the fullness of who God is, that truly is enough for our worship. And this recognition of who our glorious God is, it actually precedes the mention of the triune God in our scripture today. What is known as the Great Commission that we read in today's scripture lesson is preceded by the great affirmation of who Christ is. The Great Commission is sandwiched between this great affirmation on one hand and a great promise on the other. The Great Affirmation contains those words of the risen Christ as he goes ahead of his 11 disciples into Galilee. And he says this, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now, this is a surprising claim from one who has so often, before his death and resurrection, told people to go and tell no one about the miracles or the healings that he has performed for them to find healing. And the Great Commission then flows out of this great affirmation where Jesus tells us who he is, that he has all power. And it's because of Jesus Christ, the crucified Jew, the Lord of all nations, that his followers, his disciples, we are given a mission to go to the nations. Notice the word therefore in the scripture. It links the great affirmation with the great commission. It is because of who Jesus is that we are then to go and to make disciples. And so, like the crowd at the Pentecost sermon we remembered last week, we can't help but ask, brothers and sisters, what shall we do? Now that we have worshiped God and we have affirmed who God is, and we've looked for signs and symbols of the triune God around us, now that we have declared his glory and his honor, what do we do because of the wonder of our God? How shall we live? Who shall we be? Where shall we go? Whom shall we include? Whom shall we see because our God is Trinity? And again, the definition, the understanding of our God, it comes in relationship to us and to our job. Now, usually we define God by our job of receiving love, of receiving forgiveness, of receiving salvation, of receiving comfort and hope and peace as a gift from God. But here, in the name of the triune God, we are given the job to go and make disciples. And so our worship must spill out into the world around us as Jesus commands in Matthew 28, in the name of our triune God. It must transform our living every day, not just on this day, this Trinity Sunday, not just in our sacred spaces. How do we step beyond Sunday morning worship as we hear the benediction this Sunday and each Sunday? How do we embody the life-giving love of God, the Creator, the hope of the Redeemer Christ, and the sustaining faith of the ever-present Spirit in ways that are life-giving in our very own community right here? This past week in our women's study, we talked about not only spiritual gifts that we've spent a lot of time talking about over the past several weeks, but we talked about talents and abilities and even our experiences that make each of us unique. We also talked about the needs of the community around us, the needs of children and of youth, of adults, needs that are related to drugs, to hunger, to the need for love and relationships, and to the need for a faith in the living Christ. All needs that seem overwhelming when we think about taking them on for the whole community ourselves. But these needs are not too large for God. This Trinity Sunday and this week, I hope that we can take an inward focus of Trinity Sunday and turn it outward into the world in which we live, to consider what God might be commissioning us to do right here in Heflin. While it is always true, we could say it is especially true in this post-Pentecost season that our worship cannot end in the sanctuary or when the YouTube video ends. It must spill out into the community around us. I want to ask you, for those who are internet savvy, to get in your web browser and to search today for one of these things, to search for Celebrate Recovery, or to search for Christian Women's Job Corps, or to search for Core Essentials. Now, these are three very different ministries, and they're just a handful of many different things that are available to us as possible resources as we think about how we can be in service and ministry with our community. But I hope that you will begin to think and to pray about how it might look for us to live out our worship. Now, Celebrate Recovery is a ministry to all people who have hurts, habits, and hangups, and it's a ministry that's done together. Then Christian Women's Job Corps is a ministry that is actually a part of the Southern Baptist Church, and I believe that the Southern Baptist Association here in town is planning on beginning that ministry, and I think that's something that if there are those in our congregation who are called to do that, could be a part of that beautiful ministry that helps women to gain the skills that they need to take care of their families and to enter or re-enter the job force. And then Core Essentials is a program that takes place in schools. So churches and other community partners can go into the schools and do education with children in assemblies once a month that talk about our core values that we hold dear, and that helps us to build relationships that then we hope can be continued in the church setting. So those are just three examples. I hope you'll look into those this week or dream and pray about others. Rethink the benediction as no longer an ending, but a transition from worship inside to worship outside, from worship in word, song, and ritual to worship embodied in our hands, our hearts, and our demeanor as we live in a hurting world. We're not just commanded to do this going and making of disciples, but we're commissioned. We're commissioned, which means we're given a promise that the triune God does not leave us alone, but is with us always as we go about his worshipful work.
We'll sing This Is My Father's World, page 144. Please stand.